Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
We'll be in Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9 to start, and then we'll apply it to Jericho. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people. It was one of the most frightening leadership transitions in all of history. His name was Joshua. He'd been with Moses since he was a young man. Served his way into leadership, loved God, and for 40 years he'd been wandering in the wilderness while his whole generation died. There were no grandparents left for him, no parents, no siblings, peer friends gone. Only he and Caleb and their families had made it in. Children of Israel had been mourning for Moses for 30 days. There'd never been a greater leader walking the face of the earth. And now it's his turn to lead. What do you do when you're faced with the impossible? What do you do when you're in a situation that you feel like, unless this moves, I don't know what I'm going to do, Pastor. Unless I have this breakthrough, unless I have this victory. And make no mistake about it, he was in peril. And let me define what he was facing. Some of us recently stood at the Jordan River, and it's hard to imagine that little, 20-yard wide river. But the Bible says, whenever there was a harvest, the Jordan was at flood tide. That meant it was a mile wide. And God told him, I don't want you to wait till the flood goes down. I want you to cross through the flood. Why is it whenever we're crossing into our promised land, why is it whenever we're crossing in to what God has for us, there's always a flood? Let me tell you why. Because the faith it takes to cross through that flood is the faith you need to possess your promises on the other side. Secondly, those flood waters are watering the seeds you've sown. But if that wasn't enough, the city of Jericho was waiting for him on the other side. City of Jericho. Some say, and you'll see a picture of it in a moment, that this was the first walled city in all of history. We know today that the city of Jericho basically is the second oldest city in the world that's been continually basically inhabited. Massive walls. It was double walled. And let me just talk to you about those walls for a moment. The walls themselves were 9 feet thick, 13 feet high. That doesn't even include the embankment they were on. And you have to understand, they had no siege equipment. They'd never besieged a city. They come by a miracle. And one of the reasons God has to bring you through a flood to come into your promised land is that builds your faith for what's waiting for you. That builds your faith for the giants. That builds your faith for the walled cities. So here they come. This is a brand new generation. They've all suffered catastrophic loss. Parents, people gone 40 years. They cross over, and all of a sudden, looming up before them is this massive city. This is the first city in history to even have walls. It's already been a city for thousands of years. And as they look at it, their faith must have sank because God told them, take Jericho. It belongs to me. Has God ever told you to take something that's impossible? Has God ever told you, beloved, to believe for some family member, some situation, and they're so walled off to the gospel you're afraid? Many of you face a situation today like the children of Israel. You go, I don't have any siege equipment. I don't know how to do this. Pastor, I don't even know where to start. The one thing I know, God said, this is mine. Listen, we could plump the city of Nashville in there, walled off by pain, walled off by oppression, walled off by sin. We could put your neighborhood in there,
We could put your country in there. We could put a nation in there. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not natural. They're mighty in God with the power to reduce strongholds. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you deeper into Joshua 1:1-9. I want to give you the principles God called him to live by, and then we're going to apply them to the city of Jericho. Now, after we apply them, we're going to stand up as a congregation together, and we're going to apply God's word to our individual strongholds and to our corporate strongholds. And let me tell you, through God's word and spirit, we have the most powerful weapons on this planet. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're stressed out, those of you that are walking into a job situation and you've just heard your job may be terminated, you're so afraid today. That one of you, you came to church, you barely dragged out of bed, a depression's been hounding you, you're so afraid. What's God's answer to that? What do we do when we face that which is out of our control? That which we seemingly have no hope to deal with? How do we do that? Let's look at that together. His principles. Then God told him in Joshua 1:2a, now therefore arise. Number one, you've got to move. When you face something like this, you can sit and pray about it all you want, but there comes a time when you've got to move out and take action. There comes a time, Joshua looked at that Jordan River. He had no plan to cross it. They'd sent spies over to look in Jericho. When they got to Jericho, they found out the people inside of Jericho were even more afraid than they were. But how would they break those walls? Secondly, he had a mandate. God had told him, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've given it to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll not leave you. God said, this is your mandate. This is your promised land. God said, son, when you're within the boundaries of your promised land, when you're within the boundaries of what I've promised you, nothing can stand against you in every place you put your foot. You might be saying, well, Jim, what's my promised land? Like, pastor, what's my mandate? Let me tell you this. Your mandate is defined by every promise in God's word and every promise the Holy Spirit has made to you. You may be saying, you mean, pastor, all the promises in the word of mine? Yes, they are, as you fulfill those conditions. Promises of God's word to give you his joy, to give you his peace, to believe for strongholds to be knocked down. And then there's the application of the Spirit. Kathy and I know what it is to pray for decades to move out and believe and see God move. Many of you are saying, Pastor Jim, I can identify my Jericho right now. I know what it is I'm facing. Thirdly, we don't just have a mandate, we've got to maximize it. It says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. How do you maximize what God's telling you? Real simple. It's not enough to hear. You best obey. God said, Joshua, what I've told you, what I've promised to you, do not turn it from the left or the right. Walk it out. And because as you walk it out, you will know my success. I'll be honest for you, beloved, I'm not just believing for personal Jerichos. When I looked at that picture, I put Nashville in the middle of it. I'm believing that God will add disciples to this church by the hundreds and hundreds. I'm believing we built this building for a divine reason, and that's to fill it multiple times. Now, then he says this. Then he talks about meditation. Now, this is interesting. In the middle of all these action steps, you know, move, maximize, he says this.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. What is he saying? He's saying, son, listen to me. Don't let this word out of your mouth. Now, let me say what that means. Number one, keep speaking this word. I'll never forget something Pastor Rice used to say. The only way to deal with a thought is to speak it, to speak a word out loud. That you defeat your thoughts by speaking the word. Now, listen to me. He says, Joshua, I want you to do two things. I want you to speak my promises. I want you to speak out loud what I've told you. And secondly, I want you to meditate on them. Now, we've all heard the word meditate, but what does it mean to meditate on God's word? Yes, it means to speak it. Yes, it means to read it. But let me be practical for a moment and give you a few things you can do that aren't just biblically sound, they're neurally sound. Number one, when you read the scripture, you need to read it slowly and deliberately, but you need to vary your levels of feeling, intonation, rhythm, and emphasis. What do I mean by that? So when it's not enough just to read that word quietly, you need to read it out loud one time, read it quieter the second time, a little faster. You need to emphasize different words. Why is that? Because that helps the right side of your brain begin to deeply process God's word. I want to encourage you also to write the promises God gives you out. We know from neuroscience that if you'll write that promise with your non-dominant hand, which in my case is right-handed, it affects deeper levels of the right brain where you keep your embodied knowledge of God. I also want to encourage you, once you write it out, color it different colors. Maybe close your eyes and begin to imagine what God is saying to you, and even draw a little picture. Why? I want to fully engage you in what that word says. When God gives me a promise, I read it, I write it out, I speak it, I worship with it, and thank God for it. Now, here's the thing. When you go into combat, when you go into faith mode, your faith typically escapes not out of your mind, but out of your mouth. If you can limit your battles to your mind, you can find victory. But when you begin to let faith leak out your mouth, this ain't gonna happen, I'm just tired of trying. It's one thing to feel tired, it's a whole other matter to confess it. I'm just too tired. God made me not do this. Why am I believing this? The moment you begin to speak unbelief, it is like the holy oxygen of faith begins to leak out. I was in a crisis one time. It was so bad, in 4 or 5 hours, it just shook my life. And God said, the only thing you better come out of your mouth is the word. There's too much unbelief in you right now. But the Bible says your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. And when you get into a storm, it's what you say that sets your course. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're battling with in your mind today, your health, your marriage, your life, your career, beloved, don't let the oxygen of faith escape out of your mouth through speaking unbelief today. Speak that word. Speak that faith. Write it out. Why is God telling Joshua this? God is telling Joshua this because he knew he was going to face giants, walled cities. He was going to face things that we cannot even imagine. And if he gave in to unbelief, and if he began to let his faith escape out of his mouth, he could not do it. Guard your mouth. Man, my mouth will get me in the most trouble. You know, I grew up old school with my mama. I mean, she washed my mouth out more times than I can even count. My big problem today is I need to wash unbelief out of my mouth. I need to wash it out. You see, when the pressure comes out of you, there's something about if you say it, you feel like you can maintain equilibrium. You feel like I got all this pressure building up. If I just let it out of my mouth, I'll feel better. You may feel better for a moment, but speak that faith. You say, I feel like a hypocrite. It's never hypocritical to speak faith. You say, why should I speak them if I don't believe them? You speak them enough, you may believe them. Don't let your victory run out of your mouth today.
God's doing amazing things. Thirdly, then he says, have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's my next point. You've got to manage fear and anxiety. Many of you are in a long-term situation today. Maybe you're facing an illness. Maybe it's a loved one. You say, Pastor Jim, I know it ain't right, but I'm fearful and I'm anxious. Join the rest of the human race. Until we get to heaven, we're going to face fear and anxiety when we come under pressure. They're not going to disappear. You may get stronger, but you will be afraid again before you see Jesus. You will be anxious again before you see him. And so when it comes to fear and anxiety, to me, I've asked God to help me manage it because I realize I'm going to face it again. And so maybe it's a bad report about my health or a bad report about Kathy's health or something with a child or something with a grandchild. There's always something. There's always something. If you're walking by faith, there'll never be a day you don't have something to believe for. But the funny thing is the way we're wired, peace can begin to come out of our spirit, but we're afraid in our mind. What do we do with that? And you've all heard me talk about it, so I'm not going to talk about it much except to say I start by lifting my burdens and anxieties to the Lord. I just lift them up. I've told you before in Philippians 4, 6-9, over and over, cast all your cares on him. We talk about that and what that means. And here's what I've discovered. I don't worry my way through my anxieties. I worship them. I worship. So God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this moment to trust you. I thank you for what I'm facing in my health. I thank you for what I'm facing in my grandchildren. I thank you for what I'm facing in my kids. I thank you. Because if you will worship over your anxieties instead of worrying over them, the Holy Spirit will stir up on the inside of you and his presence will rush into you. And as his presence touches you, there will be a triggering of positive neurochemicals, which will just totally affect your psychological state. I'm not going to take time to chase that down today. I've done it before. But I've got to manage them. Last night I was having my time in the Word and prayer, and I could feel the anxiety beginning to rise up in me. I had to stop. I had to lift it up. I had to thank God for it, and I had to worship over it. Beloved, managing fear and anxiety is part of walking by faith. You feel like, man, if I got fear and anxiety, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. You can feel two things at one time. It's like the man said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You ever feel that way? Lord, I believe, but I got unbelief too. And I'm just kind of teetering and tottering to see which one's going to be stronger today. Lord, I believe, but I'm afraid. Lord, I believe, but I'm anxious. If you're not a little bit afraid, you're probably not walking by faith. And that little bit of fear is a sign. But you manage that. You manage that with God's presence. You manage that with God's promises. And so part of my lifestyle is regularly managing fear and anxiety. It's what I have to do. It never changes. Now, let's take a moment and apply this to Jericho. They get across the Jordan River, and now they've got to face Jericho. You can look later in Joshua 5 and 6, but we're going to stay in Joshua 6, 3-11. Think about this. The Bible says Joshua's out focusing on his problem. You ever find yourself focusing on your problem? You can't hardly sleep at night. You wake up, it's still there. What am I going to do about this? How am I going to handle this? How is God going to help me? And we know from Joshua 5, the angel of the Lord appears to him. Joshua goes, whose side are you on? God says, I only got one side, that's my side. He claps down to his face, and all of a sudden, here's what he's going to discover. He's about ready to discover that sometimes God's plan takes more faith than the problem itself. I mean, here's what God told him. It may be the craziest plan I've ever heard. Put my big wall city back up there for one moment if you can. God says, Joshua, here's what you're going to do. He said, I've already given it into your hands. Joshua goes, well, if you've given it into my hands, I ain't seen a lot of change. He said, Joshua, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get the whole army. You're going to get the Ark of the Covenant, and you're going to get the trumpeters, those that play the shofar, and here's what's going to happen. Your army is going to march around that city. The Ark of the Covenant is going to follow the army in front of the army. Listen carefully. They're going to be the priests blowing the trumpets and worshiping on them. Then you're going to have a rear guard that comes behind the Ark. And for 7 days, you're going to march around this city. Day one, you're going to march one time. Two, three, four, five, six, one time. But on the seventh time, you're going to march around seven times. They're going to blow the trumpets. You're going to shout, and all the walls are going to fall down. How many of you know that seems crazy? Now, it is archaeologically proven that an earthquake destroyed the walls of Jericho around that time. That is archaeological reality. Now, some even suggest the walls imploded in, didn't explode. So let's talk about that for a moment. Do you understand this was radical obedience? Joshua grew up where the ark always went first. Ark always went first. And in fact, when they crossed the Jordan River, they sent the ark first. Now God's saying, army go first, ark second. Of course, when you're going in circles, it hardly matters. Now let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about their demeanor. They were to march under arms without saying a word. Do you realize that? They couldn't talk. Why wouldn't God let them talk? Because he knew if they could talk, their faith would leak out of their mouth. He said, keep the mouth shut, Joshua. Now, if you're walking around them cities, what's the other army doing? Trash talking you, mocking you, day by day. What do you think our walls are going to fall down? They're catapulting garbage on top of you. And you think, that's a big city. Every day you go out, Joshua said, here's our plan, men. We're going to march around our Jericho 7 days. You're just one of a normal good old Jewish brother. You're out marching. You're getting so mad. I don't see no cracks. And so when it can't come out your mouth, you failed to deal with your mind. Well, this is what Joshua said. He said it's going to work. And you know, and that Jordan River did part. You know, my granddaddy told me about the Red Sea part, but that Jordan River parted. And all of a sudden, because their faith can't leak out of their mouth, they begin to deal with their mind. You see, some of you feel like that. Jim, there's such a battle raging in me today. I just silent. Better silence than unbelief. Day one, they march. Be honest. Day one, would you have started looking for at least a little crack? You know you would have. Jesus, I think he's praying the hardest. The pastor, Joshua, let this work or they'll be killing me on day seven. Day two, they're thinking, man, I was here yesterday and I don't look any different. Some of the heavier Jewish brothers kind of jumping, hoping to start an earthquake in the back of the line. I mean, you're going round and round. There's a war on the inside of you and you hardly know what to do. But it wasn't just their demeanor that was a problem. Goes on to say this. Their duration. They were to march seven times. On the last day, they were to march around the city seven times. The number seven in the Bible is the number of fullness. Here's what's easy for them. They knew it was only 7 days. For you, you don't know how long it is. God didn't ever come and say, march 2 days around your Jericho to fall. Some of you go, 7 days would be nice. I'm 7 months, Pastor. I'm 7 years, Pastor. When's it going to end? And here's the scary thing. On the last day, it took a week's worth of intensity. Seven times around. And let me tell you, right when you come to the verge of your breakthrough, right when you come to the end, you're going to feel like, man, I can't make it. You're going to feel like, I'm doing more now than I did at the beginning. And one of the signs of breakthrough is a feeling of breakdown. Because by this time, the enemy was laughing, the double Israelites, marching around our city. Day five, day six, James and I'd have been the Jewish brothers thinking, my God, there ain't no cracks in this thing. We'd have kind of marked out. I know today when I go by that one pillar, there's going to be a crack. I because I know I can't open my mouth because Joshua said I can't. I'm warned, but God, you parted the Jordan. I remember that. But where's them cracks? Mighty day five, where are they? They're being mocked by the devil, trash talk. You idiots, you never get in here. Catapults heaving garbage on top of them. Don't say a word. Meditate on that living word. Meditate on that word. This is what your word says. No, no. This, I've seen you part the Jordan. I've heard what you did at the sea. I know you're the God of my forefathers, and I know you're right here with me. They begin to meditate, and deep in the bowels of God's people, a volcanic faith was growing. They didn't let it leak out of their mouth day after day. Their directions, the whole army was to march in a circle. You know, we Americans, real linear people, we hate circles. My God, I'm going somewhere. Yeah, you're going in circles right now. Say, Pastor Jim, I'm kind of tired of it. God's leading me in circles. That's because something's going to fall down. Why so long? Because it takes that long to build your faith. Why 7 days? Well, it took 7 days to build their faith. What else do you think God was waiting on? You don't think he could have sent an earthquake day one? He's taking you in circles. Building your faith. Building your faith. He said, I'm in circles, Jim. It don't make sense. I'm so tired. Maybe you're in day seven. Don't let the victory leak out of your mouth. All those things you want to say, it ain't going to happen. I'm tired of it. Isn't it amazing what pressure can expose in you? You're the most saintly person at Bethel on Sunday morning. By Tuesday, it's hardly you're like an unbeliever. I don't know if that's even true. That old message ain't going to work for me. And you wonder why you just let it out your mouth all week long. Let it out. Whole army. And they continually blew those trumpets, them shofars. Continual worship. You know what that means? You've got to stay in worship. You in unbelief, make your car into a worship center. Make your home into a worship center. I was coming into Bethel today, playing that song, singing the walls down. I was letting the word of God surge in me. I was bathing myself in worship before I got here. I was worshiping God. Where do we find this? You hold on to my word and you worship me, even if you're going in circles, even if you don't see any sign of victory, watch what I do. Watch what I do. On the seventh day, at the end of the seventh march, they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. Where do you find yourself today? What are you marching around? What's affecting you? Joshua replaced the greatest leader in the Old Testament with a people not known for like real pastoral compliance and honor. They tried to kill Moses multiple times. Mile wide flood. Massively walled city. No siege equipment. Move out. Don't forget your mandate. Maximize, obey, meditate. Don't let unbelief out of your mouth. And manage your fear and anxiety. How many of you say, I got a Jericho in my sights? Raise your hand. Put him up where I can see him. Stand to your feet today. Pastor James, join me up here, please.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you've just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.